Welcome to the world of quantum computing. Well, most of you is gonna say, that stuff is just for cracking RSA keys. But there is actually a little bit more to that. It's interesting stuff. And our next speaker, Jan Alain, is going to introduce this world of quantum computing to us. And he's going to show us a couple of application scenarios and how to build your or our own quantum computer. Jan?
Hello, everybody. Guten Tag, alle. This is the only word I know in Dutch. We will begin this session by try to convince you that building a quantum computer at home is still possible. This is the agenda. We are in an InfoSec security conference. Why bother with quantum computing when we work at cybersecurity? We will try to explain to you in a simple manner how a quantum computer works. We will explain to you how we build our own quantum computer. And of course, because we are at CCC, we need to know how to hack into a quantum computer. So let me introduce myself a little bit. So I'm Yann Alain, I'm French. I'm used to share my project with some security conference, Hacking the Box Black Hats. I was a speaker and trainer in this type of conference. It's the first time for me in CCC, so it's very cool. I'm mostly an entrepreneur, an engineer, and of course my new company, NetGenQ, which stands for next generation of quantum computer, is a quantum company. I work in the InfoSec security since 25 years now, so I'm a veteran of this domain. I fight against I Love You viruses and slammer worm, if you remember those worms. And my past activities are related to software and hardware security. So why bother with quantum computing when we work in cybersecurity? If you want to make some difficult calculation on RSAK, for example, to factor a large number on a classical computer, it will take 10 to the power of 34 steps. It's a big number. And it will take on a normal computer 300 trillion of years. It's a long, long time. It's why we say that RSA is secure. On a quantum computer with a specific algorithm called Shor algorithm, it takes only 10 to the power of 7 steps. It's a smaller number. And it takes only 10 seconds. However, you could think that this statement is a little bit overhyped. Yes or no? No. Because Shor algorithm is able to break RSA. This is the goal of this algorithm in the human time. However, at the moment we speak, to break a big number with this algorithm, you need to have a much bigger quantum computer that exists nowadays. For example, you need a 4,000 ideal qubits quantum computer. It doesn't exist for the moment. However, quantum computing could be used also for some benefits for our domain of InfoSec cybersecurity. There is many advantage on the corner. You can use a quantum computer or quantum technology to generate true random number. This is useful for cryptography. You can deploy what is called blind quantum computing. And in fact, blind quantum computing is the ultimate privacy for the cloud, for example. Some guys try to launch what they call a quantum internet. It's not so easy at cable networks. And with a particular feature for us that could be cool to use, if you use a quantum internet, everyone that try to spy you on the line will be detected. so it could be very useful. And of course, quantum computing brings to the mass a massive new power of processing. But how those computer works? This is the one slide quantum mechanic course. So why those fancy new quantum computers are so powerful? In classical computing, we use bits. A bit is only in two states, one or zero. In quantum computing, we replace the bits by the quantum bits, which we call them qubits. These qubits follow quantum mechanical principle called superposition, and this principle is able to do to provide to the user several steps at the same time. So, if you use a qubit, the qubit could be in the state of zero and one nearly at the same time. It's not exactly what it is, but for us as a computer scientist, we could understand that it's a zero and a one at the same time. And of course, if a quantum computer, this is a quantum computer, want to manage to deal with all these qubits, it deals with all the solution of the quantum register at the same time. So it will speed up the process of data computing, because you take all the space generated by this quantum register, and in one clock time, the computer process all solution. This is mainly why and how the quantum computing is so powerful. So it's cool. So I want to build my own qubits. So this is my journey to build my own quantum computer, and you will see that there is some success and failure, and most of the time, and I'm in the middle of this. So I need to choose a technology to build my own qubit hardware. This talk is mainly about hardware, how to build your own hardware, to build your own quantum computer. So my ingredients. I need to find a support at the hardware level that behave like quantum mechanics say you need to behave to do a quantum computer. So I need to find something that behave at atomic scale. I need to be able to build it, so I want to be able to use my do-it-yourself skills. And I want that my quantum computer work at room temperature. If it could be stable machine, it could be the best. There is many technology to build your own qubits. This one called superconducting qubits is used by small startup like IBM, Google. Mainly the big one use this technology. Microsoft tried to use this technology. This technology with diamond vacancy is used by university in Australia, in Holland, I think. And of course, I use this technology. I use the technology called trap ions. So I trapped ion to make a quantum computer. So my low-level hardware support and device to do some calculation with my quantum computer is Atom. Why? I choose an Atom to make some fancy new quantum computer. The main reason is because I think I am able to build it in my garage. It's an affordable and well-spread technology because we use technology that has been developed in 1945. There is a lot of experience with this type of technology. And the main reason, in fact, the qubit quality is better than any other technology. We have a long coherence time. If you have a long quantum coherence time, you can make much larger program, for example. So we need to share a bit of theory to understand how this type of computer works. So I have a choice. I made a choice. I could have take time to make dozens of equations. Mainly, I don't understand those equations. To explain to you how to make some calculation with ions, but I found a video on YouTube, and I would like to share you this two-minute only video to let you understand how, at the theoretical point of view, a quantum computer based on ion trap works. Let's see if it works.
Electrically charged atoms make for excellent qubits. This kind of research has paved the way for a quantum computer prototype. Like an ordinary bit, a qubit can be a 1 or a 0. A qubit differs from a bit because it can also be in combinations of these two states. An ion qubit is made from two of its energy levels. Ions of the same type are identical, so adding more qubits is simple. You just need to add more ions to the system. This is a major plus because a quantum computer will need lots and lots of qubits. Qubits must be configured in certain quantum states in order to perform quantum tasks. In an ion trap, tailored laser pulses can change the energy of an ion, setting it into qubit state 1, 0, or a combination of the two. The qubit's surrounding environment sometimes sneaks in and destroys the qubit's state, a covert act that can ruin a computation. But some ion energy levels are naturally isolated, and scientists have come up with clever ways of adding in extra layers of protection. Quantum computer calculations are made from steps called logic gates. This will often involve more than one qubit, which means the qubits should be connected in some way. In an ion trap, neighboring ion qubits are connected through their collective motion. This happens because of their electrical repulsion. Laser pulses target the motion, enabling gates between any pair of qubits. To get the result of a calculation, scientists need to tell whether a qubit is in state 1 or 0. Shining laser pulses onto the ions makes only one of the two qubit levels fluoresce. So the result, light or no light, gives information about the calculation. Because many qubits are needed, quantum devices must be designed to be scalable. Researchers can only cram so many ions next to each other in a single ion trap before they get too unruly. But with modules, each containing tens or hundreds of ions, they can start to wire up a large-scale quantum computer. Light from individual ion modules can be collected, allowing ion qubits from separate modules to communicate using photons rather than their motion. So far, scientists have wired up two such modules, and they are getting ready to deploy larger devices using several more.
So, now, congratulations. You are expert in ion trap quantum computing. A two-minute video only is necessary. However, we like to build this quantum computer. So the plan is the following. We need some ions. You know that now. You need an ion trap. You need a vacuum chamber because we need to isolate our atom from the environment to maintain the quantum states. We need some laser, as you show in the video, to manipulate the quantum states. We need some low-level software to timely send the pulse of laser to manipulate the ions. And we need a camera to measure the ion state quantum state. It's easy now. So, let's go to the difficult parts, I think. Mainly, I would like to say that it's a work in progress. It's a good word to say that it doesn't finish. And just an alert, we need to manipulate very high power electric voltages. So if you want to do this at home, do it at your own risk. It's not my fault. So how to create? First, we need to create an ion trap. How to create an ion trap? What is an ion trap? An ion trap is mainly a bunch of electrodes with specific 3D or 2D geometry. We send to the electrode medium to high power voltage, AC voltage, alternative voltage, from 200 volt to 6 kilovolts. It's a big number for a voltage. We use moderate to high frequency, moderate to high frequency. This is due to the trap theory. Someone have won the Nobel Prize to explain that to trap an atom, you need to use an alternative voltage. And this electric voltage will make an electric field. And the goal of the electric field with the trap is just to maintain all the atoms in a chain that will float over the air, over the trap. So how to achieve that at a small company budget, let's say, because it's not for hobbyists, I think. Let's go. So I use my ultra high-tech military grade garage. I use 3D printer, low-cost CNC machine, PCB milling techniques, only open source software, KiCad, FreeCAD, FlatCAM, KiCad for the electronics, FreeCAD for the mechanic, and FlatCAM for the CNC. I use some high voltage transformer, classical electronic, and of course isolated gloves. Security first. Safety first. Sometime. And of course, I use eBay as the main procurement utility. First try. I need to make a classical pole trap. Of course, when I don't know how it works, I go to Google, and I find that some institution like CERN have a project to make an ion trap from 3D printed parts. So I use conductive ink and only high voltage power supply. So I need to build this. There is the high voltage here, two electrodes and one ring electrodes. The goal is to trap ions with that. So this is the main laboratory I use. So you have a variac. We take the electric plug from your domestic electric network, the high transformer, and here, 3D printed, you have the two electrodes and a camera. This is the electrode. It's a very safe wiring system. For safety reason, I put some resistance here just to limit the current the first time. In a more closer way, you will see that the high voltages is coming from this. We will apply the voltages to the electrode, and the camera is still just see what the electrode would do. It works. I'm succeeding trapping some macro particle. This is not ion for demonstration purpose, but we succeed to trap in the electrode some particle, macro particle. But we have a first failure, because with this geometry, we couldn't shine correctly the laser to manipulate the quantum state. First failure. And second try, we need to make another ion trap based on a new topology, a new geometry of electrode. And this time we use a linear pole trap to facilitate the laser shining. So again, I need to design on my own this new type, because the CERN don't provide me the 3D printed parts. I use conductive ink and high voltages. So the goal is to design this. And in this trap, you will see that we will trap the ion in a chain in the middle of the trap. So I use my 3D printer. I make some rods, the supports, some electrodes. I build all the system, and I plug the cable, the wiring. And the trap, the particle will be trapped in these regions. For this second trap, I didn't use resistance to limit the current, so it's impossible to touch this electrode because of death. And it works again. And in fact, this is a chain of particles, nearly clearly aligned. And this is my first quantum register of 8 particles. But this is the biggest failure. I need to put this ion trap in the vacuum chamber. A vacuum chamber is this type of thing. It's a big bunch of metal. And And we put the ion trap inside this. However, first, why we need a vacuum chamber? It's to be able to isolate particles from the other atom in atmosphere to avoid collision between atoms. Because if we have collision between atoms, the quantum state is destroyed and the quantum processing is destroyed also. So we need a vacuum chamber. But 3D printing parts are not compatible with ultra-high vacuum environments. So it's a big fail. Are we doomed? Maker is a hard job, really. So we need to find a new solution. We have found one. So I need to find some materials that are compatible with ultra-high vacuum environments to build an ion trap. I asked the NASA, because NASA sends electronic in space. Space is like a big vacuum chamber. So they have a list of material publicly available to be able to use some material that are compatible with a space condition. They are professional. So what are the material candidate for my ion trap? I need to use some gold for electronic conductor. I need to use ceramic for mechanical supports and captain cable for wiring inside the vacuum chamber. So maker is really, really a hard job, because I need to find an idea to transform my 3D printer linear ion trap to something that is compatible with ultra-high vacuum environments. So I need to read the manual. There is a lot of literature on quantum computer, on Google, on internet. I have a bunch of books about quantum mechanics, and this research paper are full of detail. I found this. Some guys succeed to transform a linear pole trap with rod to a planar ion trap with planar or surfacic electrode. That's cool. So I need to transform this to that. Oh boy, I need to make my own chip. Price for a complete chip factory is around $200 million. I call Intel, they don't want to sell me one. And it's a bit out of my budget scope. A bit. Lensing 5 minutes to find a solution. In fact, it takes me 2 months to find an affordable solution to do that. So how to make a new design like a boss of Iron Trap? I use a CNC, a $300 CNC, come from Amazon. I found an empty ceramic chip carrier on eBay from a Norwegian guy. And I designed a simple KiCad PCB. So I use this. This is the ceramic chip support. And what you see in yellow, it's gold. I designed and KiCad this PCB. And this time, we apply electric field, high voltage electric field to this electrode, this one, and those one. And it creates an electric field to align all the macro particle or the ion in this line. And this is how I made my quantum computer chip. Thank you. And the better is that it works. So, ta-da, I have my first quantum computer done on my garage, and just keep calm and accept I'm a boss. And it's not just a slideware, because if you want to see the one of my prototypes, I bring it so you can touch it and see how it works. But when you design such complex things, I'm not a physicist, I'm just an engineer, a crazy one. But how to be sure that I'm on the right road? I went to the Science Museum in London a few months ago. And there's this exhibition from our friend of GCHQ. Do you know what GCHQ is? It's like the NSA for the UK. And they made an exhibition about cryptography. And in this museum, they present a quantum computer based on ion trap technology. Thanks. This is the experimental part they show in this museum about quantum computer. In the right corner of this exhibition, there is a wafer. On the wafer, you have the electronic design they done to make their own ion trap. This is the design of the GCHQ. This is mine. I think I'm on the right road. Of course, I need to build my own vacuum chamber. It's not the difficult part. The vacuum chamber is just metal. You need some nuts, bolts, stand metal, and pumps, a lot of pumps, to suck out all the air in the vacuum. So I bought off eBay a different type of pumps. I like my vacuum chamber, this one, pretty one. And I put the ion trap inside the vacuum chamber. And for now, I'm working on the laser and optical setup. And this is the main difficult part for this quantum computer. Because we use fancy numerous wavelength for laser, and we need to have a very precise wavelength to be able to manage all the atom, the energy level of the atom to make some calculation. So, of course, I could have, and I have asked some professional of these devices to send me some proposal. A laser costs around 25 kilo euro, at least, for this type of instrumentation. Or you can do it yourself from 2 kilo euros. So I decide to make my own laser setup. I'm not a laser optical or laser specialist. The first time I play with laser, and there is everything is on the web. You can learn everything with the web. and I found this type of schematic. You just have a laser diode, some fancy optical lens, a grating mirror that let you choose or mainly choose what the reference frequency you want to use it. There is a sort of loop control with a PID control, which is for an electronician like me a normal thing to do. I don't know why all those fancy commercial product cost a lot. I don't know yet. Perhaps I will have some failure in the future, but I don't know. So I asked a guy on internet that sold me a laser in kits. You can buy and mount your own laser. And this laser is controlled by an Arduino. So you have fancy mirror, the HENE helium neon laser tube, and you can make your own laser at home also. I need a bunch of optical mounts and supports to support the lens, the mirror, etc. And as I bought a 3D printer for my ion trap that I can not use anymore because I use a vacuum chamber, I used the 3D printer to make all the optical mounts, in fact. So it saved me my money again. However, you need to know that it's still a long road to have a complete quantum computer because I need to set up all this fancy optical and laser. This is my job at the moment. Nearly I have 6 months to 1 year of works. But the good news is that at the software level, everything exists. If you need to have a quantum compiler to make your code, it exists at the moment. It's open source. If you need to have some framework to make some pulse and laser control, it exists, and it is open source. So I'm trying to convince you, let me know if you agree with me, that doing a quantum computer at home, it's doable. Are you agree? But we are at the CCC. How to hack into a quantum computer? This is the fun part. It's easy. Just do what we do when we are InfoSec guy. Do the same things we do as usual. Hack the weakest list. You must know that when you build a quantum computer, there is few things that behave in the quantum mechanical regime. You just only need this chip, for example, and some laser. But all the equipment surrounded the quantum parts of the quantum computer is classical system. This is wave generator, classical computers, some IoTs, some probe, industrial systems. Sometimes they have IP address. If they have IP address, they are vulnerable. So the main avenue to hack into a quantum computer is to hack the surrounded classical embedded system. So, small company that is a competitor of me, it's a startup called IBM. They use superconductive technology to build their own quantum computer. Their processor is just behind this dilution refrigerator because they need to cool down their processor to be able to use the superconducting capability. Mine work at room temperature. And surrounded this processor, the researcher explained, this is a very good video to understand how it works, and surrounded this quantum part of their quantum computer, you have a bunch of instruments, and if you zoom in, you see. If you zoom in this wave generator, it's a wave generator to send pulse to the superconducting processor. There is a sticker. And this sticker, in fact, so, of course, for security reason, I make some X to not show the complete password. So, as a conclusion, I'm trying to convince you that quantum computing and quantum computer hardware is doable at home. So, for cybersecurity or so-called cybersecurity specialists, you need to adapt your own risk analysis because it's doable at home. Just understand that. It's doable at home. All these quantum computers will be used for good, bad and ugly. Just remember GCHQ as a prototype in a museum. It would have been fun if I could have seen the production quantum computer of the GCHQ. Of course, quantum computers hackable any normal computer, so it's a good news for the cybersecurity industry. But you need, as a community of maker in CCC, we need to be prepared to learn and how to use them, how to hack them, how to program them. And at the software level, you need to unlock your classical brain, the classical software brain, because if I want to mention something at the software level, if you want to do some quantum codes, you need to be able to use your code without any variables. You can't use variables in quantum codes, because if you use variable, you make a copy of a quantum state. Making a copy of a quantum state is impossible. So you can't use them to make a variables or use a variable in your program, and you can't debug it. Because if you debug it, you make a measurement. If you make a measurement, you destroy the quantum state. So be prepared to unlock your brain to be able to make some code in the quantum world. But it's fun, sometime. Thanks for your attention. And if you have any question, it will be a pleasure. And as I'm French, I need to have a two-hour lunch time.
Fantastic, merci beaucoup. We have a lot of time now for questions and answers. Line up at the microphones, please, and let's have a look if there's something from the from the internet. Yes, there is. So please, first one from the internet.
Where is internet?
All right, the internet's quite impressed by your talk, so that's just a statement. Like, everyone's very happy and pleased with your talk. So
thanks to the internet.
Right. All right. You have a few questions. The first one is, what properties should the element be chosen for the ion trap? So what are the properties that should be looked at for choosing the element for the ion trap?
What atom? I think the person asked, what atom I used? I used the atom from calcium because those atoms have a specific, because there is a lot of literature available, so it's easy for me to understand how it works. Researchers have done all the work before, and I used the atom because there are some energy level in this atom that it's protected by, it's better protected from the environment.
Okay, let's quickly switch to microphone number three.
Thank you for your talk. My question is, what's the catch? If your design already exists in prototypes out there, and it seems so much easier than working with superconductors, then why isn't everyone already doing this?
Why someone choose superconducting and not ion trap technology? Is that your question?
Correct.
I don't know. Every time there is this type of question, why the big one use superconducting technology and why are you using ion trap technology? Mainly the answer could be that the big one are from the microelectronic domain. So a superconducting qubit is done on a wafer. So it's usual for this type of company to be able to build this type of qubits. I think it's just an habit.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, microphone number two, please.
Okay, I'm very impressed, but okay, you mentioned that hobbyists can't really afford this, a small company can, so just as a ballpark figure, I would like to ask the question, nice, how much?
All I show you here, it costs only less than 15 kilo of euro of material for the moment. It is not for a beast, it's for a small company.
Okay, one question from the internet. Signal Angel, please.
All right, the next question is your next step going to be singling out individual ions?
Sorry? Can you repeat?
Would your next step be singling out individual ions for your next step in your quantum computer?
We try to manipulate single ions, but in fact it's the goal with laser. With laser, you shine a laser of individual qubits, and with another laser, you make a link between the ions with the common mode motion of the ion chain, and you change the state of an individual ions. You transfer the state of these individual ions to the chain, which move because ions are electric charged, so they repulse each other, and this act as a bus, and you transfer the quantum state information to a second ion to make a logic. So the goal, effectively, is to be able to manipulate one ions. We shine a laser on the individual atoms. This is the goal.
Okay, microphone number four, please.
Google announced recently that they achieved the quantum supremacy. What is your opinion in this theme?
They done a very good job for that. I think they show to the world for the first time that a quantum computer is able to do a calculation that a classical computer will never be able to do in the classical world. However, is that calculation is useful? I'm not sure, except for one thing. It's able to certify the randomness of a number, and it could be useful for the cybersecurity world. So for my company, I have no money to spend to marketing thanks to Google, because they show the world the power of quantum computer. So it's cool for me.
Okay, microphone number two, please.
Hello, thanks for the nice talk. I'm a material scientist from offline Gießen. Maybe you heard about our incident here. I was asking, what are your current problems with this? For example, I think I have too many questions to ask here now. But for example, we saw that you had some like little pellets that were floating over your structure. But these are not the atoms that you are trying to confine with each other so you can make calculations. So you didn't tell anything about how you are trying to achieve this, and what is your current state? I mean, have you could you even start some crude calculations on this already? Or
not for the moment, because I need to shine the laser in the right direction. So for the moment, I'm building the optical setup.
Okay, all right. Maybe there are some possibilities how I could help you with your project.
You're welcome.
I have access. If I could ask the right people, I'm not in the position to promise something to you now. But for example, we have a nanoscribe laser system with this, like a 3D printer, but you can build things on nano levels, on nanometer scale.
What is the cost of to use it?
The cost of the printer is around 300,000 euro. Oh. So
I take it.
All right.
Thanks for your help.
Maybe after the talk we can get in contact.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
We have a dinner.
Okay. All right.
So, two new friends, actually. Question from the internet, please.
All right. So how many qubits is it possible to make in the garage?
For the prototype, we think we are able to do some 10 to 15 qubits with one ion trap. The goal is to chain the ion trap. So we have many, not as many as we want, but we could rise the number of qubits to 100 qubits.
Okay. Microphone number three, please.
Which calculations do you plan to perform on your quantum computer?
I don't care. I build things. And software guy do their code. It's not my job.
Okay. Microphone number four, please. There is somebody.
Hello. So your optical setup reminded me of atomic force microscopes. Are you aware of what they are?
Perhaps.
They are essentially an optical setup with a microscale tip at the edge that scans across the surface and can detect nanoscale features. But the cool thing is that even though this is a scientific instrument, there's also open hardware designs for that. And maybe you can seed ideas from that for your optical setup, because once again you've got precise lasers, at least on the geometrical side. They have to be precisely aligned and everything.
Thanks for the information. And of course, we use a lot of spectrography techniques in this type of computer.
Okay, we have somebody over there at microphone number three.
Did you consider optical quantum computers with entangled photons and such stuff?
This was my first choice, in fact. However, as far as I know, I'm not a physicist, it's difficult to make some entanglements, not entanglements, it's difficult to make some photon to talk to each other, let's say that. So it's a complicated way to do something with a multiple qubits, but photonic is a good technology because it works also at room temperature. Mm-hmm. But I prefer to have a vacuum chamber in my garage.
Okay, let's interrogate the internet again.
So you mentioned that you should not be doing measurements on the quantum computer. So have you tried doing any measurements on your prototype?
Measurement of what?
This is hard. I think the internet cannot really reply now. So, can we...
Internet is limited.
I think we cannot really...
If the guy that asked the question will want to send me the question, I can answer just after.
Right. Okay. By email. Here it's talking about electric field.
I know. I don't make any measurement. I'm an engineer, and as I'm a good engineer, I just plug things. And just saw what happens. I have no idea of the electric field generated. No idea.
Again. Oh. Okay. Microphone number two, please.
Hello, thank you for the talk. So after you generate the vacuum in your vacuum chamber, how do you actually introduce the right number of ions and how do you keep them in the place where you have them?
It's a good question. In fact, we don't introduce the ions. We put a calcium stone, sort of calcium stone, in a sort of oven. It's just a tube. We send current in this tube. This tube eats the calcium. They make some vapor, and we shine a laser on the vapor of neutral atom of calcium, and this creates the ions. And this ion is trapped because it's now electric charged by the electrostatic field we made with the ion trap. So we just introduced, before closing all the vacuum viewport and all the nuts and bolts, we just put a piece of stone of calcium, neutral atom. So everything is in the chamber before we turn on the quantum computer or the chamber.
Okay, we stay at microphone number two. There is another one.
Okay, second question. What you're describing is you have a linear array of, right now, macroscopic particles. You will have a linear array of ions that are then coupled by kind of common vibrational modes, so they need to see each other's electrical fields. So I am wondering what the characteristic length scale between macroscopic particles versus ions would be if you want to have some meaningful vibrational modes that don't immediately get drowned in external thermal noise.
So if I understand correctly the question, you ask me what is the dimension between the ions?
Yes, I mean, you are pretty big compared to the IBM guys.
If yes, I'm big. Yes, I am. You're right. The main dimension we use between ions is few micron. And if some researcher succeeds to align 100 ions, so you have a chain of 100 ions multiplied by 5 to 10 microns between ions. This is the length.
Yeah, but I mean, on your substrate, you have a fraction of a millimeter.
Yeah.
Between the.
It's because it's prototype.
Okay.
You're right. I need to squeeze the design a little bit.
Okay.
I just need to buy a better CNC machine.
Your
I have
friend.
One.
Okay. We got some question from the internet again.
All right. So this one is... This is more towards knowing about the GCHQ exhibition. Is it still open? Do you know?
Yes, I think. I have a free ticket if you want. It's free. In fact, it's free.
I guess people will contact you on Twitter for that?
Yeah. Make some touristic business also. I can help.
Everyone was impressed with your GCHQ hat.
Okay, any more questions? How many people are working in your garage?
There is me and sometimes one of my daughter, which is 10 years old.
Pro team?
Yeah, a big one.
Okay, any more questions from the audience, from the internet? We have time. Okay, I'm going to close that session now. Thank you very much. Yes. Big applause again for Jan.